All right. I do thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight, and it's good to see some familiar faces, and it's good to see some new faces and to make some new friends. You know, we're not a big crowd, but in this world, but we got a good crowd here, don't we, tonight? So thank God for that. And I'm glad we got some folk from our way that have come up with us to the conference, and thank God for them. Mary Shoebridge and Brother Leon Crow, both been a blessing to me and my family and in the ministry. Both of them, I'll tell you, I know they don't want me to do this, but this is my turn. So. But they have blessed me. And so when I first started seeing the Bible rightly divided, they give me, Brother Miss Mary give me literature and CDs of Tom Bruché and Richard Jordan, just so many different things like that had benefited me in the ministry and books. And, matter of fact, most of the books back there, they even distributed to me. So I thank God for that. And, Brother Leon, thank God for him. He's helping me teach now at Lamb's Way at 10 a.m. So, been in the grace message for over 20 years. I believe it's been, Brother Leon's been about 27 years. He has been such a blessing to the church. And so we thank the Lord for that. Tonight, my wife said that I look like a television evangelist. she whispered that in my ear. You know what, though? We need to clean up television evangelism. So we could be the start of that. You know, Brother Jordan's on there, but we could, maybe we can fix some things. So, by God's grace, let's take our Bible if you've got it with you. And look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And now I'm not a long-winded preacher most of the time, unless people show up to church late. But I'm not a long-winded preacher, so don't be expecting to be here that long. I apologize for that. I just can't get it out like that. But if you will, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1, Paul says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities." Verse 6, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." Verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now look what Paul says in verse number 8. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." He says, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I want us to look at that area of the scripture here where Paul says that God told him in verse number 9, where he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." I want to talk to you tonight about the sufficient grace of God. The sufficient grace of God. Now we know in the dispensation of grace that Paul, 1 Corinthians 11:1, is our pattern. And we see that, and we can learn things in the life of the Apostle Paul that have to do with our walk. We've heard some great men of God teach us some things tonight, and this weekend has been a blessing because it has showed us more about this life of grace that we live. We are called here, especially in the States and known around the world, as grace believers. But there goes a step further than just saying that in, as far as salvation, that we have believed and we are saved by the grace of God. Now let me tell you something. I haven't got over that. Don't plan on getting over it. I'm glad, thank God, that I'm saved by God's grace. But that's not all there is to this life. This is a grace life that we live in. And God has given us instructions in the dispensation of the grace of God. And we can be educated about how to live that out by the grace of God. Okay? First of all, let's establish some things about the grace of God. Look with me. And in Ephesians, well, not Ephesians chapter 3, excuse me. Look with me in, you can turn there, you don't have to, Galatians chapter 2. Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Or excuse me, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. As Paul is our pattern of graces today, also showed us and is telling us something about himself and in his own life in Christ and realizing that he is. And as he did say, I am what I am by the grace of God. I want us tonight to really see that in full perspective. Paul said in you can turn there with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 16, Paul says, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. I want to show you the importance of following Paul, being that he is our pattern of grace. Our pattern of grace, okay? And what we need to establish, number one, is God's grace is sufficient in our salvation. In our salvation. In the doctrine of salvation, God's grace is sufficient. If we learn in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. He says, and that not of yourselves, he said, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We know, as any normal person would know, no matter what it is, if it's whether you do Christmas or not, whether it's your birthday, you get a gift from somebody, and you know what happens when you get that gift? You don't offer to pay for the gift. Not only is that rude, especially in our culture, but it would be awkward and funny. And the thing that people need to realize is sinners need to understand that the gift of God is exactly that. It is a gift. It was paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for our sins. He died there for our sins, was buried, and was raised again for our justification. I mean, folks, that's good news. And we take that and we're offered that gift. And guess what? It's by the grace of God. It's by the grace. It's God's unmerited favor to us. Somebody did an acrostic years ago. It says, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And his grace is sufficient in that Paul says in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now the verse Brother Reagan read a while ago, when a righteous man would one dare to die. Or preventure would even, a good man would even dare to die. And God loved us while we were ungodly, while we were sinners. Ephesians chapter 2 says, when we were in time past without God in the world, having no hope. Outside of the covenant, outside of the promises of the nation of Israel, outside of the circumcision. And today in the dispensation of the grace of God, God is working and it's unto all and upon all that believe. Boy, that's the grace of God in salvation. And notice that in Romans chapter 3, you can turn there with me. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 24, Paul says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Notice the word freely there characterized this gift of righteousness, this gift of grace offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that we are justified by his grace. Isn't that wonderful?
Not only are we justified by His grace, Paul says, Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Romans 5:9, verse 1 says, being now justified by faith, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And I am telling you, folks, you've been justified by faith, you've been justified by His blood, and you have been justified by, what did I leave out? Grace. Thank you. Romans 3:24. All right. Galatians 5:4. Galatians 5, get with me, verse 4. Paul says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen for grace. See, grace does what the law could not do. Grace is doing something that does not include works here. Grace is working in the manner of our salvation in that it is a gift that is freely bestowed upon those that believe. Years ago, I talked to a young lady that a dear lady had lost her young child. It was a very traumatic situation. And as I began to witness to this lady and give her the gospel of grace, she grew up in denominational churches, and in that particular incident in that denominational church she was in was Baptistic. And as she grew up hearing that you turn from your sins and make Him Lord of your life or ask Jesus to come into your heart, and she never really understood what grace was. She was holding on to things in her life and didn't understand that the simple salvation, the simplicity in Christ, was based upon what Christ did at Calvary. And nothing you or I could do, not by works of righteousness which we had done, but when He saved us, friend, it was based upon us placing our faith and our sufficient trust and our trust in His sufficient sacrifice. That's it. No, plus nothing, minus nothing, okay? And so that's what we have an understanding of. I'm telling you tonight, His grace is sufficient in salvation. Titus 3:7. Paul says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And then he says, look what he says in the next verse. This is a faithful saying, these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Why? Those things cannot replace and cannot do for you what the grace of God teaches us through the Spirit of God through Paul's letters. You understand that? Now, let me tell you something. My family, it's actually my wife's side of the family. They won't be watching this, so I'm not worried about Sunday when we next Sunday when we see them. Watch them turn it on just by chance, so, you know. Boy, I'll tell you what. We'll see if we get another dinner over there. But babysitter, there goes the babysitter, you know. And it's not time to argue about those things in the law they're trying to make us apply today. You know why? Because we understand the message of who we are in Christ, and we understand the doctrine that Paul has given us, and we understand the message of grace, what it means to be a grace believer or a grace lifer. Okay? And that's what we're going to try to see tonight. His grace is not only sufficient in our salvation, but also in our walk and in our sanctification as we live out what Christ has done in us, realizing our position in Christ. As we learned this week, how we are baptized into Jesus Christ. We've been identified with His death, burial, and resurrection. We've been placed into Christ. We have the earnest of our inheritance. We've been sealed with, not by, but we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. And so, we've got all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1:3, in heavenly places. We are Colossians 2, we are complete in Him. And all these wonderful things. And I'm going to tell you, I was just like Brother Allen. When I learned the grace message, I learned some of these things. I was like,
this is just a little bit of a letdown as far as God's not. But I said, really? You know, makes sense. Makes sense that we at all that time had faked God's working. Hey, I wasn't the preacher that got a check in the mail. Huh? Do you know him personally? I wasn't. I was the one that was begging, God, dude, I need you to meet this physical need in my life. God, I need you to intervene right here and change the circumstance. But I'm going to tell you, He does want to intervene, and the way He does it, He does it through the Word of God, and that this has to do with the grace of God, folks. And real quickly, I want to give you some scripture. And we learned some good things already about how God's Word works in us. And I want us to just get a few of those verses. Brother Allen quoted earlier Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful. It is that tool that God uses. It is that quickening tool. It is the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 6. It is the Word of God by which we heard the gospel of our salvations, and we believe. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Man, if it wasn't for preachers, if it wasn't for grace preachers, like some of the ones that are sitting in here tonight, I would not be here today. I would not be doing this right now. 2 Timothy 2:2, and they're carrying out that which was committed to Paul, to committed to men, to committed to other men, and that's exactly what I'm a product of. Alright? The Word of God does this. Look what He says. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank God we without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Somebody says, you don't believe God's doing anything? You don't believe? I'm going to tell you something. I believe that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Folks, that is the power of God. Notice it says unto salvation. That's the power of God He wants you to see, is that to take a sinner, undeserving of the grace of God, and to give him eternal life and change his destination, not by any favor that he did, but because he loved us and he gave himself for us. Boy, that'll make you shout. You say, brother, we don't do Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail, and they're singing and praising God in a dirty, rotten jail out in the Mideast somewhere where it seems like there's no hope, no way to get out, and they're shouting and singing to God. I bet the Philippian jailer, and he had a job there, I bet he was more miserable than they ever were. A matter of fact, he was the fellow that said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they didn't tell him to show up on the temple on the Sabbath day, did they? No. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, and thou shalt be saved. That was the message that he preached to him. Amen? And so, thank God for that. We see that in the Word of God, okay? Now, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to show you how He works in our life and how His grace is sufficient. Now, Paul, we're going to go back to what Paul said here in 2 Corinthians, so don't think I'm leaving that behind. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look in verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Okay? That's it right there. That's us. That the excellency of the power may be of God. And not of us. That takes us out of the picture, doesn't it? Look what he says here further. Look what he says. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. There is, and Paul says that, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. See, there's a renewing and a working of God in us through the Word of God that has to be done. And this is the same reason, and dear brother over here, we were talking about things around lunchtime. We were talking about how God is going to work in the new covenant in Israel. He's going to be causing them to walk in His statute. The ministry of the Holy Spirit will do a work in that time period when He makes the new covenant with them, and He'll be carrying out His work in a different manner. But you know what we got to do in our responsibility? To see that His grace is sufficient, we got to put the Word of God in us.
We have to study. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, I remember they used to say, boy, when we used to, back in denominationalism, they'd get up there and say, sometimes you just don't have to study. The words will just come to you if God's in it. Oh, yes. I tell you, you'll be getting a lot of baloney is what you'll be getting. Okay? A lot of foolishness comes out of that. And hey, the heart of man, the Bible says it's desperately wicked. Huh? And man, so many things, the Holy Ghost, as Brother Allen, very well job explaining that. He's been accused, the Holy Ghost has been accused of a lot of things. Okay, that he's not guilty of. I had a dear friend of mine, been on the phone with him. As a matter of fact, when I was 15 years old, he gave me this Bible. Yeah. And he taught me to believe that that was the final authority. Not him, not the preacher, not the pastor of that church, but that this was the final authority. And I'm going to tell you, and this is coming from me, you know, but I feel like this is my final authority, but I don't know if he sees that way anymore. But that was what I want him to see. And you know, he gets caught up on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know how important that would be for him to hear what was just being taught. He says, you know, if we started back in Acts 2, which I want to say that we are back in Acts chapter 2, then I really don't even know what I am anymore. I don't know if I'm Baptist or what. I said, I think you're Pentecostal if you started at Pentecost. You see, he said, do you think I'm Pentecostal? I said, you said it, not me. But there are some things that have changed, and thank God the blinders are off when you take and say, I'm going to junk my experience, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm relying that, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, later on, that he said, the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I believe the Word of God does that for us. There's not another tool. There's not another sensation. There's not any other thing that we have to experience to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Not a blessed thing. He didn't have to show up. You know, my wife was in the hospital a while back. That last one we had was a hard one. That last child. And the boy still gives us trouble. But you know something? I mean, it just fell right into place, you know. From the time of his birth. But, you know, when I came into the grace message, it was before that. Before we had that child. You know what I didn't do? I didn't beg God. I said, God, will you do something to her? And he said, you're not going to pray for your wife? You're not going to ask God to heal her? Make it better? And everything turned out just fine. She's here. Do you see her there? That's really my wife. I promise you that. But you know what? We could rest in the Scripture that, hey, no matter what happens, we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Okay? And that is an excellent thing to understand. Just to show you, Paul said, unless I should be exalted above measure, back in Corinthians, through the abundance of revelations, there is given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said he asked God thrice. What is the example in the example we see that God is telling Paul? My grace is sufficient for thee. Watch what he said. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. He can be used in us and in you when we realize that in our place and we realize that, hey, God's grace is sufficient no matter how bad the situation. You know God's grace is sufficient in our sanctification and it has to do with our sin? Did you know the grace message, as we've already seen in Romans chapter 8, tells us that we can walk and how we're to walk and we can rest? And Romans chapter 7, we can find out who we're to yield ourselves to? It has to do with yielding. And it has to do with the mind. It's a spiritual battle for the mind. And it's a fight. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. says, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, watch this, to be strengthened with the might, by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, watch this, being rooted and grounded in love. Someone that's rooted, think of a tree, folks. Someone that's rooted, it's when the winds blow, they're not moving. They're not falling. Paul even said this in another way with doctrine. Not cared about with every wind of doctrine. But he's rooted and grounded. Look what he's grounded in, love. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Paul says, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. See that? God's grace is sufficient. Colossians chapter 1 verse 11. Strengthened with all might, Paul says, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse number 13. Paul says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. Here, watch this now. Here's your answer. That ye may be able to bear it. That's grace for you, folks. You can bear it. You can get through it. His grace is sufficient. And when it's not sufficient and evident in my life, you know what it is? It's not God's word, it's me. God is true. Let God be true. And every man a liar. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 6. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Was Paul suffering, folks? Amen. And matter of fact, this verse looks bad in once. But there had been times where Paul didn't have enough to eat. Huh? There had been times when Paul was beat. He knew where to be, he knew how to abound. Okay? He'd been through perils. And if I tell you what, now, the ships and the missionary journeys, I mean, I went to Charleston back on our anniversary, and I just took a little ferry to Fort Sumter, and I got sick as a dog. Now I'm gonna tell you something. He went through it. I mean, I don't know how anybody on there was doing okay. I hadn't even had nothing to eat, but I was sick as a dog. Now I'm gonna tell you something. He went through it, folks. In the night and in the dark times in his life where he was experiencing things. You talk about stress and distress. Paul knew what it was to be under the weight of the world and have those things on him and affecting him. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 1:6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is your consolation and salvation. And then Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, look what he says. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. 2 Timothy 1:8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. See, when you open that beautiful gift box of salvation, you also opened a book of a gift of suffering. What does Romans chapter 12 verse 1 say? He says, I beseech thee therefore. How does he beg us? How does he beseech us? He says, I beseech thee therefore by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We're besought by the mercies of God. We're constrained by the love of Christ. I do what I do, and Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God, and that's what our motivation should be. Because I did not get what I deserved. Because the just died for the unjust. The judge died for the ones that should have been judged. And He's forgiven us of all trespasses and sins. Not only did He do that, Colossians chapter 2 says, but those blotting out of the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He nailed them to the tree in His own body, taking them out of the way. That's what He did for us. He completed the work that had to be done for us to rest in our salvation and to walk out our godly sanctification. See, this thing of grace, oh, when you say grace, preacher, they'd say, I know what He's doing. He's offering a license to sin. The very thing Paul is accused after establishing justification by faith, Romans chapter 5, he opens up in Romans chapter 6 saying, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Oh, what's he say? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Also, the grace of God brings salvation to all men. He says it teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust. Grace of God, folks, works. Grace of God's not lazy. Grace of God can be put to work. It's a holy life, see, folks? It's not a license of unholiness. I heard a preacher say it in North Carolina. He said, you know what? He said, if you're talking about a license to sin, you already had that. Hey, man. Hey. Right? Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul reminds Timothy. Timothy was young in the ministry. Paul reminded him about being strong. Boy, this encourages me, Brother Robert. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know what I love about right division? Well, you couldn't have said it any better than that. I do love everything. I want to tell you something. You know what the men of God have done? They didn't say, well, this is the way it is because Brother so-and-so says it, and I know him as a good man of God. You know what they say? Let's look at what the Word of God says. You know how many times as a Baptist, young Baptist preacher, men of God want to take me on the wing and say, well, we'll look at it. Let's see what the Word of God says. Fewer than not. They point us to the book. Boy, that's the way we ought to be doing it. Approved unto God, 2 Timothy 2:15. Not approved unto men, Bible colleges, seminaries. Points of view, opinions like a belly button. Everybody's got one. Don't mean nothing. Just means you're born of a woman. Amen. All right. And then we'll close with this verse, Philippians chapter 4. Let's look in verse 11. Paul says, now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Well, that cuts out the prayer issue about asking God to just change everything, huh? Verse 12, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. You get that everywhere there. That means from the dark jungles of Africa to the west coast to the east coast of the USA, that means in the heart of China. And in communist Russia. It means over there in that Mideastern desert where they don't even allow the Bible. Where it's outlawed. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full, to be hungry, but to abound and to suffer need. When you understand grace, then you can really say and get it. Verse 13. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I can. When you get the grace message and you see, praise God, the gospel went further than just saving me. I'm identified with that in my walk. I'm raised to walk in newness of life. Buddy, that'll put a skip in your step. The gospel didn't just stop when I was saved. It's not even the will of God. The will of God, Paul said, is for all men to be saved, and then what? And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. How do you get that? Well, it's got to be rightly divided, the word of truth. Oh, my, my, my. And how men have changed the word of God. Paul brought out two fellows that did that. Well, he brought out more than two fellows that did that. He said, it's Jannes and Jambres which did most. You know what that fellow asked me about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, this buddy of mine that gave him this Bible? He said this. He said, if I had a preacher coming here, or not in here, but he said, if I had a preacher I knew, and he said, a lady in a wheelchair couldn't walk. By the way, I know what it's like. I have a brother-in-law that cannot walk, who's a lot younger than me. He said, if I brought him in that preacher, and that preacher prayed over him, and there's no way scientifically that boy could ever get up and walk again. He said, and that preacher laid his hands on him, and that boy's legs were healed, and he stood up. He said, what would you say about that? I said, I'll tell you what I'd say. I'd write it off of being a work of God. Even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. How did they do that with words? But how did they do it? What did they do? They copycatted a miracle of God, didn't they? You better watch yourself. Paul warned in Galatians chapter 2, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that which I preach unto you, let him be accursed. He said, if an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you. That's hard preaching, because if I see one, I'm probably going to flip out. If he says, I'm an angel, I'm a prophet. We've had false prophets affect our church. People come in, we embrain them, brainemism and all that stuff. People that have been affected by that, that come out of that cult. And, they hate my guts, but I love them. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. God's grace is sufficient to take somebody that's in that mess and change them. If he can save the chief of sinners, if he can save the very man that was leading the revolt against the Israel of God, folks, he can save anybody. His grace is sufficient to turn those lives around. Thank God for his grace. Thank you all for the opportunity tonight. Hope you all have a very wonderful night. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll close. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the word of God, which effectually worketh in us that believe. And I thank you for the men that have faithfully stood for your word and for this grace message. And Lord, may we just be obedient to those things and let the word of God, by the Holy Spirit, work in us and change us, renew our mind and our heart. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done at Calvary in Christ's name. Amen and amen.